Okay, so we left off with the case of the Midas Kalim, right? Meaning that once you learn by the Mizbeach case, that how do we get out of the intractable problem of having a gray zone, a zone where we an indeterminate zone of Elyon and Tachton, right? Which make a big threat, which essentially saying that we're sweeping the problem underneath the rug, so to speak. Fine. But now the Gemara one-ups itself, because what's the next case in the Gemara? Please, Tashma. Yeah, you. Well, no, say like this. Tashma is saying that, okay, well, one second. You're going to tell me there's an Eif Shalat Samsam, right, by the case of the Mizbeach, right?
But
how do we solve the problem? We have a way of solving the problem. What do we do about Midas Kalim? It's saying that how could the Chachamim ever hold? How could they really hold Eif Shalat Samsam? It's impossible because of Midas Kalim. Because the Gemara doesn't say Eif Shalat Samsam. It's just saying. Yes, it's saying the Chachamim would have to agree to that. That's correct. Yes. Bidei Adam. It's not Bidei Shemayim. Because God says, build this kli, right? So what's the answer? Yuri, what's the answer? Look at the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, but the Torah, God says, he says, make the clay. So therefore, uvuchol hechi the matzos lemiave nichale. What does that mean? Do the best you can. Right. Rashi. You don't have to read the whole line of Rashi, right? Olam. Yafet. Think about how powerful that is. Rashi's saying, at the end of the day, well, just read that literally, it won't be a beautiful or a nice precision. In other words, you'll be precise, but it won't be a nice precision. Right? Load simsimo yafe. Right. What kind of, what's going on here? What's the Havi Maskana? There's another question. What makes this case different than the Mizbeach case? Right? You have to answer that also. There's a Mizbeach case demonstrated a situation where we were unable to resolve a problem, and the Gemara says, Eif Shalat Samsam, so what do? We fudge it. Right? In other words, by the case of the Mizbeach, we created a workaround, right? We recognize there's no way you'll ever be able to really differentiate Elyon from Tachton. So what do? We put a band-aid over the problem, right? So what's this case coming to demonstrate? Why does it work here to say God said so, right? Do the best you can. What about the previous case? Do the best you can there also. Let's get one thing clear. Hold on. One thing clear. Why not mention Ein Din Azhar L'Malachei Asharas? Or, in other words, there's an idea in Halacha that when it comes to the halakhic system was not meant for angels. So what that means, for instance, is that when you look for bugs on fruit or vegetables, it has to be something visible to the naked eye. You don't bring out a microscope, right? You don't do that. Or you don't use X-rays to check that stuff. You don't.
You don't take out a
protractor. Exactly right. So why not say the same thing here? Why not say over here that the problem is ain't in a torah l'malchei asharis, right? That'd be to me a very good answer. What makes this? God says, build a kli 10 amos. Why is that not an issue of Ein Din HaTorah L'Malachei Asharis? I ask. What would you say? What knowledge are you lacking in here? What makes this different than Ein Din HaTorah L'Malachei Asharis? Ein Din HaTorah L'Malachei Asharis is what? Is that if that there's no way God could expect us to do what?
Measure perfect. Or be that precise.
Why? That's an answering the mechanism.
No,
I understand we're not angels. What would an example Ein Din HaTorah L'Malachei Asharis here be? It would be where if God said, make the Kli 10.6574357 9 in a million decimal places, okay? That would be Ein Din HaTorah L'Malachei Asharis. Because
that's the same thing. Just 10.00000.
No. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing, my friend. It's certainly not. I gave you what is I told Ein Din HaTorah L'Malachei Asharis with God requiring us to say 10.3356. But I'm saying numbers there. But what? No. What can't we do? What can we never do? There's a difference between saying God tells us make the kli 10 amos. Okay. That's not the same thing as saying make it 10.6545, blah, 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 blah. Right? That would be a problem in the Malachi Shara. There's no way. That's not a human system, because what can't we do? We can never know what. What can we never know? What can we never know? What 10 amos is. There's no way for us to know what 10 is. It's not a question of being, it's not saying that I don't know, I can't, there's 10.65, da da da, that's an amount. All right, so you'll say there's just, it's too hyper-specific for me to ever get to. That's not what the Gemara is bothered by here. The Gemara is saying that the number 10, you can never know what 10 is. Because what are you going to say? Let's say you take your ruler out. When you say 10.0000, that's different. That's saying that when I'll never know that if I'm ever actually at 10. That's different than saying you must do 10.567. That's just saying that's a human limitation. I can only know pi up to a certain number. I can only memorize pi up to a certain point. That's not what it's saying here. It's saying here is, tell me, when is it 10? How do you know you're at 10? How would you ever know you're at 10 amos? It's an impossibility. You understand? You can never know. That's different than an idea of molecular shirim. That's in the Torah Malchei Sharis. But you can never know when you're actually at 10. It's an impossibility.
Isn't that part of the reason we measure?
Point is, there's always some guesstimate taking place. Always. Even with the ruler, there's always a guesstimate, because at the end of the day, to quote Dardik, it is not a question of precision, it's a question of epistemology. Well done. I agree. Oh, so that's the case. So now what makes this different than the case before? See, I can only, now it's more forgiving. It's more forgiving to understand why it means God said so. Because you could say, because God, the fact that the Torah says so, the fact that there's the Torah, if the Torah tells you to make a 10, the Torah is aware of this epistemological problem. It's acutely aware of it. God's aware of this issue. So God, when God says 10, of course it means do the best you can 10.
The first case has to mean.
No, but what makes it different than the first case?
The first case has to be precision 10.
No. What's the first? What makes the first case different than this case?
First case being
the... When God says to make the Kli 10, what does he actually mean to say? Say this carefully. No. In the first, and by the Mizbeah case, God is saying a positive idea, which is that delineate two zones. Use the thread to now create an Elyon and a Tachton, right? That's one idea. That's not what this case is. This case isn't telling you to create a positive delineation. What does 10 mean?
Don't miss.
What is 10? How do you know you've hit 10? When you make the Kli, it's a cute idea. It's very, well, I should say, it's cute. Which would mean what? How do you translate that into measurement?
When you're metric with measurement, that's 10
times. No. I would say no. How do I know I'm in the safe area 10? How do I know? Because I'm what?
When I'm not at 9 or 11.
Thank you. When I'm not at 9 or not at 11. Okay? In other words, because there is never an idea 10. That's the whole point. You never know what you have. But I know one thing for sure. No, that's not true. That's the best you could do. The best you could do as a person is not saying I'm at 10, but saying I know by being here I'm not at 11 and I'm not at 9. That's what happens when you build a Kli. That's the best you could do. That is human precision. Human precision by number is, well, by being at 10, I'm not saying it's a positive 10. I'm saying, no, it's not 11, it's not 9. So we're good. That's the human limitation. But that's different than the Mizbeach. Yeah. After that, that's why I think the Gemara purposely chooses the case of Kli, because of Kli Mikdash, because it could have picked any shear, right? When it comes to Mikdash, right, it's an unbelievable, to me, it's an incredible idea. Mikdash, which is the king, right, which personifies, it's the paradigm of precision. Any deviation from Avoda, and you're done. And yet, in this very institution, what do you see? You see that you can't be precise. The very institution itself that demands precision in the action, but in the very construct of the things you use for the actions, there's an acknowledgement you can't be precise. This case goes a little off the rails, okay? And then we'll swim back to
the
group.
On the rails right now?
Yeah, this is even worse off the rails. Okay. So what happens now? Yeah.
Yeah. The
Shnayim. What the heck is this case? So take a look at Rashi. Chalku l'shnayim. The Kaimele Tanner. Right, Shayara Beruvo, Be'or Verotav. Okay, that's the parak. Okay, so you have to have a little background here, okay? Let's say you have a Kli, let's make it simple. I'm not interested in all the lachas of Tuma here, but you do have to know something about how Tuma works to develop a Svara. So, let's take a normal case, okay? You have a Kli. An earthenware vessel, this beautiful over here, that's earthenware, okay? Now, if it broke in a way where, let's say it became tame, and now it breaks, Now, let's just make it simple. Let's say there are two pieces, okay? A large piece, 80%, and a small piece, 20%. The halacha is that the 80% piece is still tameh, okay? But the 20% piece is not.
Can you crack it again?
I don't know. Don't ask that kind of question. I don't know.
To make it not tameh.
What?
What do you crack it to make it? If like that's tameh, how
you tameh. It doesn't matter. The top, right, no, no. 80% of the tumah still travels. Okay, so if I have that rove piece, that whatever, it doesn't matter. I don't care about that. The point is that what you have to focus on, what you have to focus on, is as follows. In a regular case, right, you have to memorize this fact. In a regular case, when the kli breaks, the tumah, and there's, I had a whole kli that was tameh. When it breaks, the tumah attaches itself to the bigger piece. Okay, the rove, whatever that is. Is that clear? Okay. Okay. Now, our case here is, let's say this thing split down the middle. Okay, so now you got a funny problem, right? What's the problem? Just reading Rashi. Rashi says that they are now equal, okay, and they're tameh. Why are they tameh? Now, they're both tameh. Remember, 50-50 now. They're both tameh. Why? Lefish EF Shar, because EF Shar is the same. Because we can't be precise. We don't know which one of these is what? Rove. We can't ascertain which one is rove. So therefore, what do we say? We say that they're both, going back to the Gemara, they're both tameh. Now hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. First of all, this is a problem according to who? No. The Chachamim are saying, The Chachamim are saying, Yivshalat Samsem by what? By Bidei Adam, right? So what would they say? They're going to say here, Shneim tameh. They're both tameh. But that's very weird. Why is it weird for the Chachamim to say that both of them are tameh? Because why? Sean, why? Right, so by the Bechor case, let's say by the, Elyon case, by the Bechor case, they don't say, the whole problem was we can't handle the idea of two Bechors. How can they handle two roves? You can't say both are rove. If they split in half, how could you say both are rove? Okay, we can put that to the side though, okay? It's very weird to tolerate the idea of saying they're both tameh. What you should say is, one is tameh, one's not. But the Chachamim don't say that. Here they're saying they're both tameh. Okay? Yeah. Tashma chakushayim hein shavim shneim tameim lefishi yishal tamsim. Right, so that's the salute. Right now, the Gemara is saying this is a problem. Because why is it a problem? Because why is this a problem? Why is it a problem to say yishal tamsim and say they're both tameh? Okay, so what's the answer? No, I'm sorry. I apologize. Who is this akasha on? It's not akasha on the Chacham. According to the Chacham, this is fine. This is a kasha in the Chachamim on a secondary way, because the Chacham should say only one. But the essential kasha is on who? On Rav Yossi. Yeah, because how could the Gemara Paskin here, that in the case of Shaveh, Eiv Shalat Samsen Shnei and Tameim? What would Rav Yossi say in such a case? Eshalat Samsen, right? And if it's Eshalat Samsen, then what?
You would know which one's
Rove, right? You would know which one is Rove. There's this case is a kasha in Rav Yossi, because Rav Yossi holds Eshalat Samsen. You would never have a case of Shnei and Tameim. You figure out which one is bigger. You can figure it out. There is no Shaveh. So the Gemara's answer is very bad. I'm Rav Kahana. Listen to the answer. You have to pay attention to the answer to understand the problem. Well, okay, right. So look at Rashi Vishbo Gumos.
Sheshovernoso.
Chatichos. So now you have a series. Okay, so what's the answer? Now let's see if you picked up on the problem. The answer is that, no, this case is different. Because when you break this kind of kli, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is, if you looked at it, if you break it this way, now turn it, so now you're facing the break part, okay? And you look at it, or look at it from the side, right? A sagittal view. You would see this, okay? Understand? This. So if you're seeing this on each side, you're never going to be able to be precise, right? Meaning, Rav Yossi agrees, F. Charlotte Samsem, he's just saying it's something about this case that prevents him from ever being Mitzamsen. Why? Because of the Gumos.
Ew, water is
clear. Let's get our facts clear. Is the Gemara aware in the Havamina that there are Gumos?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, that's a problem. Yeah. This isn't a surprise. Like, oh, guess what? It turns out that... No, of course the Gemara knows this. It's not a surprise to know that this thing has Gumos. If that's true, right? If that's true, then what's the problem with the or what's the Havi in maintaining a Rav Yossi? Say it again. That Rav Yossi would hold that in a case of the kli breaking, right? When a kli breaks, he would say tzimtzum doesn't work. Okay, as a general rule of thumb, because the maskana is saying that he would say tzimtzum does work by kelim breaking. It's just this type of kli you can't do it. Remember, there's work backwards to the maskana. The maskana is saying that in this kind of kli, in this species, in this particular type of kli, because of the gumos, so there's something preventing me from hitting tzimtzum. But intrinsically though, I can always do mitzamsein by a kli, by this case of kli tuma breaking. Of course I could. So the Havmina must have held what? The Rav Yossi would say that tzimtzum would not work in a case of a broken kli. You understand? The Maskana is saying that Rav Yossi said tzimtzum does work. It's just that this case is an exception because of the gumos. The Havmina, though, which knows that the gumos are there, is saying that Rav Yossi would say tzimtzum just doesn't work. Doesn't work by broken kelim. What's the Havmina Maskana here? Now that we're switching over to Rav Yossi. This is testing even the limits of Rav Yossi. Even Rav Yossi has limitations. Just like we're looking at, that's all about Gemara's like this. The Chachamim was pushing to see how far the Chachamim will go. Doing the same thing by Rav Yossi here. It's pushing. Wants to test how far we can go to Rav Yossi. This is a tough point. Rav Yossi empathizes with the Chachamim about an issue. He does empathize about something. But you have to, this is very difficult to work out. I feel like I have to help you guys out a little bit here. Okay, no. Let's take the first step, okay? Let's understand what... Yeah. Okay? All right, so let's take the normal case. If I say, if a kli breaks, okay, that the rov piece is tame, what does that tell me about the shame kli?
It still exists in the big piece.
Okay, so what I would... Right, good.
It's a positive and negative.
No. What I would say is that... No. Just listen. No, be careful. Let's go slow. What I would say is that the shame kli is continued. Right, there was never a moment in time where the kli stopped being a kli. We just said it's like the kli got smaller, so to speak. Meaning that the rove piece, the shame tuma, right, is just continuing to exist. So when I break this kli, and there's a smaller piece that broke off, the shame kli still exists in the rove.
What's happening to the other piece?
Nothing. It's
lose something?
Yeah, it's not tame anymore. But it's not tame. What?
So long as
that kli. This kli just got smaller. That's something else. That's something else. It's a piece. It's a piece. It's a shard. It's a piece of pottery.
The hair falls off of you. It's not you.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. That's the easy step. Now, one second. Now, if you guys understand that point, if you make that step, the next step is, well, let's now look at the case where the kli split in half. Again, if you say the shame kli, right, carries through even when it breaks, what's bizarre, if not impossible, to comprehend by a case of the kli splitting in half?
Well, which one the cowl is a shame of, which one is now charged? Now you have the same
equal
thing.
Size. Which one are you going to say is carrying
the same thing?
You see, Sean's almost there.
So ridiculous.
The problem is like this. The problem is that, well, what are you going to say? Okay. If you say there was an actual equal split, right, that, if that's what you're saying, there's an equal split, well, then you're going to run into a serious problem, because you're going to say then that the shame kli continued in what? But that means they're both
shame kli.
So therefore, one kli begat... One second. Right, therefore, one kli begat two of it, two kalim? How is that possible? That's impossible. No! Because that's not how shame kli work. Because that's why you can't say that. Because if you're saying the way this works is that the shame kli is never interrupted, it must attach itself to something. So now what's happening here? I split it in half. If I split it in half, that means I have no, there's no rove, right? There's no rove piece. Or if you want to say they're both rove, which is even worse, that means the shame kli is now on both pieces. How can you tell me that one kli turned into two kalim? You can't say that. No, that's going to be a maskana. Fine, you're right, but I'm saying at the end of the day, the problem is this. The problem is that Rav Yossi would agree you cannot use tzimtzum if tzimtzum will produce this kind of result. The problem with using tzimtzum in the case of a kli split in half is it's going to produce a result of, I went from one kli to now, but I have two, what, new kalim? What are these things? One cannot produce two. You understand? It can't be. That can't be. So that's why the Havmina would say the Efshal Tzamsem, you can't use in this kind of case. But a Maskana is not saying that. Now you do what you were saying before, it makes sense. The other possibility is that it's not that when the Kli breaks, the Shem Kli continues. You know, that's tempting to say that. Like, when the Kli breaks, so now I have the majority left, so that's still the Kli. Hold on, 1 second. One step at a time. So it's not that the Shem Kli continues when the Kli breaks. No. That when the Kli breaks, the Shem Kli is destroyed. You have to. That's the first step to take in the Maskana. You understand? That's the move. The Havmin is saying that the Shem Kli continues. If you go down that road, it's going to create an untenable situation, the possibility of one Kli giving birth, so to speak, to two of its own. That can't be. That's absurd. The other way is to say, no, the Shem Kli is actually destroyed when the Kli breaks, the Shem Kli is destroyed with it. But 1 second. That you can't stop there. Now what? Let's go back to the road case. But what? The reason why, which again, this is axiomatic, but the reason why the halachic system says Tumah still must exist. As we're saying is that the Shem Kli for sure is destroyed. But that doesn't mean that Tumah is destroyed as well. There's still some idea of Tumah here. It's just not in the Shem Kli anymore. Because what you'll say is that the rove represents the Kli. It's not that the Kli got smaller now. It's that when the Tumah now, imagine that the Kli is destroyed and the Tumah has been released like a virus into the air, right? Now it's looking to attach itself to something. So it can only attach itself to that which represents the Kli. So we take the idea of rove and say the rove represents the Kli. Not that this thing is the Kli. It's not. It's a broken piece. But we say the Tumah has to attach itself to something. We're going to let it attach itself to the rove piece.
Why does the Tumah have to attach?
But if you say the Shem Kli is destroyed, but there's still an idea of the Tumah attaching itself to something, and it goes on to the rove piece, because the rove piece is what represents the Kli. Now let me ask you a question. Let's say the Kli is split 50-50. That would not present a problem. Why would it not present a problem? Because at the end of the day, no, because that's impossible. You know why? That's impossible. You know why? No, can't say that. No, you can't say have two Klees. You can't say that. No, right. We said before that as soon as a Klee breaks, a Shem Klee is destroyed. So what I have in front of me are pieces, right? I have pieces in front of me. That's for sure true. Now the only thing is that we say the rove piece becomes the one that represents the Klee. Rove becomes the standard that Halacha uses to say that represents the Klee and the Tumah can attach itself to it. But what if I have what if it's split 50-50? Now what?
Well, either you say that they're both representative of the
Kli. No. Then they were stuck back into the problem before.
Or you have to say that either somehow neither of them is representative of the Kli, or one of them is representative.
Well, so why don't we say neither are, and then what happens?
There's no Tumah.
The Tumah needs a rove to attach itself to. I don't have a rove here. Let me modify that. I'm sorry. The Tumah doesn't die. Lack of a better term, it doesn't die out. It's like it's released from the Kli, and it's searching for somewhere to land onto.
So either it's
going to land on the P. It's going to search for that which represents the Kli. The only thing that represents the Kli is Rove. If Rove is there, it'll attach itself to Rove. But if you don't have a Rove, you could say the same thing, by the way, the broken into a million pieces. If you don't have a Rove to attach to, okay, so that's it. The Tumah just goes to where. So that, see, what I think this does, the reason why I took this approach, in case you're interested, the reason I took this approach is because I want to avoid the issue of the gumos. See, that's the trap. The trap is to start getting into, like, this gumos issue. Because if you go down that road, then what was the Havmina? The Havmina knew there were gumos there. Very strange. See, the Maskana, the way I'm learning it, is very nice, in my opinion. Because what ends up happening is that according to this way of learning, so now Rav Yossi would say, of course I can use Tzimtzum, right? Of course I can use Tzimtzum in these cases. Except in a case where, because of the topography of the Kalim, I'm just unable to. But otherwise, he'd always want to use Tzimtzum, because he doesn't mind having an idea where the Tumah doesn't attach itself to something. All this is an Hagdama to this, which is the case of Egla Rufa. That's why I brought this in. Because by Egla Rufa, you're going to come across a case where what happens, if you recall from our Gemara, the Mishnah says the body is found where? Equidistant from two cities. Now, what do you do? What are you in that situation? So look at the Gemara, Tashma. Okay, so that sounds like what? That doesn't sound too bad, right? In other words, if it's right in the middle, just say both cities bring an Egla Rufa. Okay? Both cities bring an Egla Rufa. Now that sounds like... Why? My time, huh? What does that mean?
Not
because
we're holding that man can do.
Yeah, it is that the Torah says Krova, right? Karov, the city that's closest. It doesn't say the closest cities, right? I don't know what the plural for closest would be. So it doesn't say, right? I know, but that doesn't mean in English closest is. There's no word. Right? No, there's no such word like that. You can't be. Closest is an exclusive term. I mean, no, right, closest cities, right? So it doesn't say that in the Torah. Torah says the closest city, okay? Hey, turn it over to the other side by Rashi. Look at Rashi. Turn it over. Look, Rashi. Nimsa.
Right. Nimsa called the father in Beit
Shteyarot, Sheinzo, Koroba, Lo, Yotzer, Mizoklum, right? So that literally one, they're equal, it's equidistant. So Efshal, that's Sam saying. Yeah. Vilimdod. Okay, so Lindod Yofa. So what you can do is you can measure carefully, right? Stay on Krovos Zokazu, right? And therefore, Kasabar Krova. So then you would read Krova to mean that's not limited to one, it could be two.
What?
Yes.
But
that's correct. That's correct. No, because remember, because what are you doing here that's different by the Kli? That's one, but also you're contrasting. As you're saying, you're measuring from here to this point and here to this point, right? Where there, you're creating, you're trying to build a kli, trying to get to X point. Here, you're trying to say, well, I have A measurement and B measurement.
I'm contrasting it relative to 9 and 11.
That's my svara, I know, but I'm saying, and that's also a negative idea. At this point, the Gemara is saying we can tolerate an idea of two closest cities, okay? Even though it doesn't sound like logical sense. Go on.
Okay. Rashi.
Orphos, right? That makes sense. That you can have a case of, if you hold Efshal, that's what I'm saying, you could produce a phenomenon of two Krovos, of two cities being closest, which is fine. Right? The E. Pay attention to this carefully, okay? Because if you hold EF Charlotte Samsam, let's say you say you can't be precise, then of course, right, one must be, halakhically speaking, one must be carved than the other. And if that's the case, so that's true, Amayim Evio Shtei Agalos. And that's the case, why bring two Agalos? Why should each city be responsible? If it's EF Charlotte Samsam, what am I going to say? What appears to me to be 50-50 is really either 49-51 or 49-51, right? That's what's actually happening. And in such a case, what's the solution for such a thing? Not bringing an egla from each city, but rather what?
One city to figure out.
No. Oh, Eosha
partnership.
Right. A partnership of what? Bringing
one
egla. So again, I'm going to have to write this out for you because you guys won't figure this out. But anyway, so the Gemara is saying this. The Gemara is saying that, because it goes back and forth, but the Gemara is saying that if you're telling me Efsha that's Samsam and the body is equidistant, Efshal at Samsam, then you're learning the Torah to be Krova, Karov, to mean even two cities could be closest. Okay? Okay, but if I hold E of Charlotte Samsam, which means only on earth, if it's E of Charlotte Samsam, that means it can't be that they're equidistant, which means it's either 51-49, right, or 51-49, depending on which perspective, right? So the only solution for that were for both cities to get together and bring one Egla. Okay, so again, if you hold Efshal at Samsam, you could have two eglas brought. If you hold EF Charlotte Samsam, the solution would be, in an equidistant case, one egla from two cities. This answers Clark's question, right? That's the Shutfus. The Shutfus, right, exactly. Okay. Okay, no, back to the Gemara.
Right. So low, right?
Right, so low. So the answer is no. Rebbe Lezer, Savar La.
Right.
Right. Interesting. Whoa. Now, there's another brisa. The brisa, this brisa comes along and says, if the body's equidistant, you know what the lacha is? No laga rufa at all. We have three possibilities now, right? That's why there's a lot of variables here. One possibility is mechuvan, each city brings an egla rufa. Second one is mechuvan, the cities gather together and bring one egla rufa. And you have this possibility, which is that with equidistance, no one brings an egla rufa. Rebbe Lezer Omer. No, he says no. They both bring two eglos arufa, right? My love. Oh, so it's tempting to say that Tanakama holds that if it's equidistant and you don't bring two eglas, because Iyashalat Samsem. But didn't the Gemara before say that in Iyashalat Samsem, the two cities bring one egla? Yes.
Pick a city to bring it.
Okay, keep going.
Right,
E, Kusavar, Tanakama, Yerushalayim, Samsem. Right, if you hold Tanakama says that they're not, that there's no Tzimtzum, then why not say that, what do you call it? Then why not say that the two cities join forces to bring one Egla? Right? Vindu, right? Ah, so both Tanakama and Rebbe Lezer holds Efshalat Samsem.
It is possible to measure,
so they're not arguing about Tzimtzum. They both agree you could do Tzimtzum in this case. They're arguing about when the Torah says Karov, what does that mean? Right? The Tanakama Savar. Interesting. So that's a fascinating idea. We're going to have to define that. It's a fascinating idea to say that you can tolerate Tzimtzum, but you can only have one Karov. Which is interesting, because the Torah says so, it's like Zeres HaKasav, or not.
What?
Keep going.
My
Havela,
right? Yeah, right. Amar of Tana.
See, the Gemara can't make up his mind. You have this brisa, which says that Rav Lezer says you bring two, and the Chum say you bring a partnership. Well, sort of. Mike Sava Rabbanan. Lese Tarte, you're going to learn both? V Krov of Lo Krovos. Right, I'm sorry, right. So if you're going to tell me to hold Efshat Samsem and Karov only, meaning only one city, then both can't bring an Egla. And it, one second. And if you say V Krov of Lo Krovos, if you want to say that they hold only one city, right, I feel the Chadol Lysi, then the Chum should say even one shouldn't be brought. You have to say the Rabbanon hold Yishalat Samsem. That feel be the Adam. Shmamina. Okay. I'll.